Hi everyone, you are listening to Yacht Femme on Yachting International Radio, where we discuss women in yachting.
Welcome to Yacht Femme, where we talk about the women that make the yachting industry. I'm your host, Andrea Tagliaferro. Learn who they are, how they got into yachting, and what they do today.
Georgina is a partner at Burgess. She works in regional business development, focusing on strategy in developing markets worldwide and their regional offices, with a substantial emphasis on their operations in Asia and Dubai. Georgina joined Burgess back in 2003, where she worked in charter management and retail. She took several years out of her Burgess career to train and race full-time for Great Britain as part of its rowing team. Today we are with Georgina. So can you tell us a little bit about what you do, where you're from, and just share a little bit with the audience?
So my name's Georgina Menheniot. I work at Burgess English. I've been lucky enough to travel quite extensively with work, currently based in Monaco, but I've spent some time in the London office, in our Miami office, and moving around quite a bit. I now work in business development for the company, so working on new operations that we're launching overseas in the further flung locations. So we set up some new offices in Asia, launched in 2015, launched more recently in the Middle East. So wherever we decide to look into a new business venture, I do that with the or do that with the strategic team, and then put the team in place to build Burgess on the ground in that place.
I want to know a little bit more, how did you get into yachting?
So I was really determined not to go into a traditional post-university job, a management training company. I didn't want to do something that made me feel a bit like a cardboard cutout, and wanted to do something interesting and a bit off the beaten track, and something that I actually was interested in as well. I had no intention of working in yachting. I did an MA in international relations. I wanted to work in strategy and defense and international relations since the end of the Cold War, and decided I needed a job in London.
That's where you were at the time.
Yeah, I studied at Nottingham and then needed to get to London so I could go and talk to the big think tanks and the research institutes, and wrote to interesting people we knew asking for jobs, and wrote to Burgess and asked for an interview. I come from a sailing background.
So you knew you knew the yachting industry in a sense that it existed, but
I didn't know the yachting industry at all. I knew my way around small sailing boats and sailing dinghies. I grew up with a family that loved sailing. My dad took us sailing all the time. I love being on the water. I love being on boats. Being on boats actually teaches you a lot about how to get on in life. You're on a boat, you've got to move it from one place to the next place, you've got X many people to do that with, and you have the wind and some sails to get there, so get on and do it and find
make
a way
it
to
work.
Make it work. Yeah. And it's actually you put people on a boat and people have to get on. People sometimes don't get on, but if you want to make it work, they're going to have to get on.
Yeah, you definitely don't have that off switch. You can't just go into your little corner. No, you can go 10 meters away from them, regroup, and come back.
You can't slam a door.
You can't slam a door and storm out. That's true.
You're going for a swim.
If you can at the moment, by the way.
Yeah.
So how old were you when then you reached out to Burgess? You said you just graduated, but from that.
So, yeah, I took a year out after school. I then went to university for 4 years. I then did a master's, and then my parents were going, please.
Enough.
Go and get a job. So I must have been 23, 24.
Okay,
that's 2003.
And so you started Burgess, and you just stayed there.
So I started work in the charter department. And Burgess was, so working as an assistant to the head of charter management and retail charter. So it was a smaller company then, and actually we didn't have many assistants in the business at all. Everyone dealt with all their own stuff. So at that time, the company was growing a bit, and I came in just to assist with everything from boat show planning to contracts to answering inquiries to putting marketing material together. Just, you know,
anything that was needed, pretty much.
Anything that was needed for a growing team.
Okay. Yeah. So after you were an assistant, what happened next?
Well, The idea was to move into a charter management position, mm-hmm. and actually to move from London down to Monaco, okay. and become a charter manager there.
The office was already there.
Yeah, the office was in Monaco. So the first offices for Burgess were in London and okay. Monaco. And that's where our teams were based. And then we moved into the US. And for quite a long time, it was sort of 2-3 offices, mm-hmm. and quite consolidated. But then obviously the business has grown. So, yeah, the plan was to become a charter manager in Monaco. Uh-huh. Things didn't go quite according to plan because I was actually doing a lot of rowing at the time as well.
Okay.
I don't think I've told you this. No. I was doing a lot of rowing at the time and actually turned out to be quite good at rowing.
Okay.
And kind of wanted to pursue it. The company were amazing. They said, take the time you need to do all the training you need. I was training mm-hmm. twice a day, morning and evening, or twice in the morning, and then coming later into work.
Okay.
And
in Monaco, you were doing.
No, this was in London still.
Okay.
And I actually got into the British rowing squad, so I ended up leaving Burgess for a while, which really wasn't the plan. I think either wasn't my plan at the
but
time.
But it was your plan. You said you didn't want anything cookie cutter. That was not cookie cutter.
No, it was definitely. It was definitely off the wall. Yeah. But it was just such an opportunity, you have to take these things. So I got into the British rowing team and spent sort of 2 years training full time. The company were fantastic. They supported me through it.
Wow.
And I used to send really long emails telling everyone how exhausted I was and missing Burgess, but generally exhausted, and thank you for the support. And I'd go back and do a talk once in a while.
Wow.
And that was a diversion.
But that was Olympic level,
So I was in the British team and training for the 2008 games in Beijing.
And you went?
I did not go.
Oh.
I was part of the squad, but then there were two reserves and I was a reserve. So.
Oh, sorry to hear that.
Yeah, it was tough times, but it was also the best of times, because actually you step back from it and you go, how many people get an opportunity to do that? And yeah, it sucked at the time. I was exhausted and I was devastated, but I'm okay. I'm here now.
Yeah. So after that, what did you do? I'm assuming you took some time off too.
No, I had no money. So I had no time off. I had to go straight back to work. I did
back
various jobs. Not straight away. I worked for a solar energy startup. I did some research and wrote a paper for the United Nations, which was probably my proudest moment outside of rowing or yachting, and then got a call from Burgess saying,
"Well, it's get back here."
Yeah, or just generally, we've got a job we think you might be interested in.
And was what was
and that was in brokerage.
Okay.
And I was going,
Which
was sales, yeah. And I was saying, you know, I'm really enjoying what I'm doing at the moment. This solar energy firm is fantastic and really exciting. It's a startup, so it's really energetic and small, and I'm doing everything. And the offer was broadly, I know you're super competitive. Mm-hmm. I know you like achieving things.
Yeah.
This is a job working in sales, which mm-hmm. is broadly still dominated by an industry dominated by men.
Still, yes.
You really love beating the guys at their own game. Why don't you come in and give this a go?
Whatever.
And I was too competitive to say no.
So they knew how to talk to you, didn't they?
So I left the solar energy company and came back to Burgess. And that was 2009. So it was a really interesting time to come back because no one was hiring in 2009
because
of what had happened in 2008.
Exactly.
But
that's
actually,
when everybody went back to school because nobody was hiring.
Except for Burgess. And actually, Burgess is a bit different from a lot of other companies mm-hmm. in the industry. We work as a really strong team. Everyone is paid to turn up to work every day.
Mm-hmm.
It is a place where you come in and get the job done. And actually, there were a lot of deals still to be done. There were a lot of boats to be sold. There were a lot of people looking for boats.
Okay.
And it was just, the market was, there was a big readjustment, mm-hmm. but there was still business to be done. And I think a lot of people probably did go, going to have some time off.
Correct.
But we were all there turning up to work today, and actually we, oh, each day, and we actually had some really good years, sort of 2009, 10, 11. They were tough.
So you did then go into brokering.
Yeah. So 2009, 10, 11, 12, I was working as a sales broker for the central agency fleet. So we had about, at that point, we had about 50 or 60 yachts for sale that we were representing for sale on behalf of the owners. And there were two of us at first, and then three of us running the sales campaigns for all those yachts, and then handling the negotiation from the seller's side, and then seeing deals through.
Okay.
Yeah.
So after that, that's when you moved into business development?
Yes. So I did that for the best part of 4 years, and it was brilliant. And actually,
that's
I really loved it.
Actually.
And talking about women in yachting, they're just, you don't see many women in the brokerage side.
No.
They're few and far between. And it was actually a really exciting thing to do, and it was a great opportunity to have.
Mm-hmm. You were probably one of the first ones, actually.
I don't know if I was one of the first ones, and I think no one talks about it too much, but I know at that time, I don't think there were many girls working in the industry working on the sale of, say, we were selling the best part of 20 yachts a year, mm-hmm. and probably 15 from the central agency fleet.
Mm-hmm.
So either my colleague or I were selling, doing 15 yacht sales a year,
which
is really exciting.
Yeah, that's a lot.
It was only on the way over here I was going, okay, we were doing that.
I did that.
Do
you like more now the business development side as opposed to the broker side? Because that's where you stayed.
I really enjoyed working in brokerage because of the challenge. I really enjoyed a project and getting something done.
Uh-huh.
I come from a sporting background.
Like a black and white, like you can see the check mark, it was sold.
You know what you've got to do? You've got to sell that boat. You've done it. You've
exactly.
got a happy seller. You've got a happy client, a happy buyer, normally, hopefully. And you've done it. Job done. Let's go to the next one.
Exactly.
And I think that probably comes from a sporting background as well. You've got to row as fast as you can down that course. You got to the end. Well done. You won. Or not. So I did enjoy that, but I'm not very good at doing the same thing for too long. I'm always looking for the next challenge. I like variety. There's so much to do. There's so much to do at work.
True.
There's so much to do in the world. Try and do it all. So business development has been a really fun avenue to explore with Burgess, because I think Burgess in the last few years has been on such a path itself in terms of growth and expansion and consolidation of what we do.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been an exciting time to be working on that and taking the company into really different areas and really different regions and really challenging what we perceive of the status quo of what we do and how we do it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we're known for professionalism and holding ourselves to a high standard and delivering.
Well, you guys are undisputably at Ed. Sharing the top, I'm not going to single anybody
out. We try to do well.
If you're going to mention the best ones out there, you're, of course, in those names that I mentioned. Do you have a morning routine? And if you do, can you tell us a little bit about how do you start your day to be able to conquer all the mega expansion that Burgess is doing around the world?
I have learned through trial and error that my morning can never start early enough. But if I don't control that morning, it's gone before I've realized it. So the morning routine generally consists of checking WhatsApps for the really urgent things. And at least then the guys and girls know that I've seen what I need to see, and then quickly getting onto exercise. And every day has to start with exercise, and if it doesn't, it's not going to be a good day for me, and it's probably not going to be a good day for someone else as well.
You need to drain.
I just need to sweat and clear the head.
Okay.
And then, just get into the office and try and prioritize what needs to be done based on time zones and urgency of situations. And every single day is different in terms of what's going on. So
who tells you what to do today, for example? Like, if every day is different, do you have, a calendar saying, don't deviate, today we have, this deadline or something?
No, I'll generally know what's coming up in each location or in each region and where. And when we're launching into a new area, then it's very much
that.
I'm very much focused on that. So at the moment, most of my time is on Sydney, where we've started up a new operation there, and working with Chris out there. Asia now is really running itself and super well. So my involvement there is very much backseat, and just sense checking things, or giving some top cover, or giving some advice, or just making sure actually that dots are being joined. Because actually, one of the biggest challenges in running a company where everyone works as teams is making sure that not only that people are working well as teams, but that information is moving well between the teams. And I mean, we take it for granted now that we're all so connected that we can't disconnect. But sometimes it's the small bits of information that might seem completely innocuous to someone in Europe that are actually super important to someone in Singapore. So days will be governed by whether boat shows are coming up, whether we've taken on some new staff that need to be sort of brought into the sort of the bigger Burgess picture, and give them both the general training in the company and our ethos and who we are and the way we deal with things and the services we offer and how we operate, in addition to department-specific training in the area they're going to work in. So there's always a bit of, I wouldn't say firefighting, but picking up the urgent situations, and they go first.
Yes.
And then working down a list of other things that need to be done.
Since you've been in the yachting, you have apparently done way too much selling when nobody was selling, being employed when pretty much everybody was unemployed in 2009. What can you pinpoint what is, like, I don't know, your highest achievement or your highest proudest moment in yachting?
Proudest moment in yachting. I can pinpoint areas.
Okay.
So, actually, most recently, seeing new teams sort of pick up and start working together and move off the starting block and into just their own little business has been super satisfying. Because you've got to start from scratch. Every time we launch a new business venture, I have a template, I have a spreadsheet. I've learned that from my McKinsey colleague.
A spreadsheet. They live on those spreadsheets.
And I have a number of things that are always going to be the same. And then I have a whole heap of lines that I have to figure out how we're going to fill those and who's going to do what and when we're going to do them. And it's everything from, you know, the PR and the launch and the messaging to this new venture, right through to building a team, making sure they have the right training, right through to corporate setup and finance and bank accounts and credit cards. And there's a lot of stuff and there's a lot of things that can fall through the cracks. It seems insurmountable when you start, but by the time it's done and you've got through it and you've built a team, and that team is actually just getting on with business and everyone is enjoying what they do, that is super satisfying, because you've actually helped a load of people get into an industry that they're now really happy to be in, and they're doing a really good job, which is brilliant.
Yeah, you're definitely glowing from it, so that was a good one. Something else would be, if you were starting right now back in the industry, what advice would you give yourself?
Take every opportunity. Take every opportunity that comes along. Don't expect things to work out the way you think they're going to work out. Don't listen to the voices. Don't listen to the people or the voices in your own head that say you can't do something. And find the people and the voices in your head that say you can do something and cling to them. And believe it. You know, you can always do more than you think you can do. And I still need to tell myself that. build a team around you build the team that says you can do it, and build the team that's enthusiastic.
Set you up for success.
Yeah, and or set themselves up for success. Find the people that want to succeed. And then whoever's helped you get along, make sure you play that forward, like we were saying earlier. Make sure you pass that on. And if someone's helped you get on up the career ladder or helped you achieve something, then make sure you help someone else, because that's why, that's probably why we don't have enough women in yachting yet.
We're trying to solve that, at least one podcast at a time.
One podcast at a time.
Okay, last question. This one should be extremely easy for you for what you do, or actually very, very long. Where do you see the industry going? What do you see in maybe in 5 years?
Like we said earlier, this industry has been quite traditional mm-hmm. for a long time. This industry is changing fast because the world around us is changing fast, because the people we work for have extraordinary capabilities at their fingertips in terms of technology, in terms of knowledge, mm-hmm. And in terms of what they want from their yachting. So yachting needs to move quickly. Yachting needs to move with the times. It has a huge challenge now in terms of becoming a more environmentally responsible industry. Mm-hmm. I think the industry's recognized that, mm-hmm. and it is starting to change, but the task is monumental. I mean, you only need to look at yachts to realize what a challenge that is. But mm-hmm. I would like to think that there are enough good people with the right mindset now to do something about it. Mm-hmm. So I think the big changes will be technology, a need to become more... You can't change the industry. The industry's not going to go away just because it's not mm-hmm. the most environmentally responsible industry, but it can change. We have incredible potential.
Huge resources.
Huge resources and an incredible potential for R&D mm-hmm. if people are willing to commit to it and spend the money to do it.
Yeah.
And we are building the most phenomenal vessels.
Yes.
Things that you never thought possible on a yacht are now on a yacht. Mm-hmm. So we should be able to build sounder yachts, more environmentally sound yachts. And I think we can, but that is...
I think people are curious and actually want to do it as well now.
I think clients... A new generation of clients will just expect it.
Yeah. Every other industry is doing. How are you not adapting to the times, I guess? They are expecting it.
It is adapting. The industry is starting to adapt, and mm-hmm. it has to change. But we might see a sort of two-speed shift. I know at Burgess we're trying to be, like I said earlier, we try and hold ourselves to the highest standards mm-hmm. in terms of everything we do. We try to be the most professional, give the best advice, do the best job we can. And that has to apply to how we conduct our business as well, how we just behave in business. Mm-hmm. So we will keep pushing in terms of being a trusted source of information and being the most professional guys and girls in the room. I can't speak for the rest of the industry. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't know what they will do, but I would like to think there will be a big group of people still aiming to be the most professional they can be. I would like to see more women coming up and through, because there's absolutely no reason why they can't.
Yes.
And I would like to see, and anyone who hears this from Burgess will laugh, because I am constantly banging the sustainability drum, and sustainability in every sense, whether it's, you know, company operations, being the best we can be for our employees and colleagues, and being a more responsible company. So
okay.
We'll have to see, but that's what. That's where we can get to.
We'll do a recap of this in maybe 2 years, see where they are.
Give us five.
We'll give them five. So, well, I want to thank you so much, Regina, for making it here. Thankfully, she was here as a pit stop in New York, and we were able to make this happen. So thanks again for taking the time.
Thanks for having me. It's been really good fun.
Thank you so much for listening to The Yacht Femme. If you like what you heard, please like, subscribe, and comment. Your comment will help us reach a broader audience. And don't miss the next episode. Bye!